Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord. This is Macedonian Call around the globe, and welcome to the broadcast tonight, and we thank you all for listening. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There's several prayer requests tonight, so if you'd like to be part of the broadcast, if you have a prayer request and you're listening by internet and maybe you want to share a testimony, maybe you want to preach, praise God. Tonight's subject is He's an On-Time God, and our number is 347-989-8862, 347-989-8862, praise God. So we've got several prayer requests. Tuesday, her name is Tuesday Isagum, something like that, that me and my family have a safe trip tomorrow. Also pray for Sister April Fox. Pray for her uncle. He had a heart attack last night. They ran tests today, and only 25% of his heart is working. He is facing open heart surgery next week. Sister Teresa Terry says she needs a miracle. Heather Green says pray for her mother and a few unspoken requests. Sister Patty Love, she says, please remember my family. Also remember the Miller family from church. Her brother passed away. Also remember Deborah Smith. She's praying for, she's praising the gift of job for her husband. As Crystal Clark says, remember my family tonight and God to move on a situation in her home soon. Brother Tim Hall says, remember Sister Frida and him. Also, Sister Bonnie Burke said, unspoken request, please remember her and her family. Sister Christina Marie says, unspoken, please. I have many people in my prayers, along with myself and my family. I'd appreciate all the prayers for these people. God knows all about it. Kay McGoldrick says, my prayers are for you and your family, and those special requests above. So she's praying with us and agreeing on the above request and also for the broadcast. Please continue to lift up my son Daniel and let his choices be clear. Also, Nikki Alfrey says, please keep her sister and brother-in-law in prayer. They are sick. Also, Alice Jones says, please remember my husband, Jim, and I seeking direction, also for healing for Jim's back. And she's expecting the Lord to move, and she says, thank you. Also, we want you to remember my mother, Midge Bowens Atkins, pray for her eyesight. I talked to her a while ago, and she needs the Lord to heal her eyes. Praise God. So we're, again, tonight, if you want to be a part of the broadcast, that's 347-989-8862, and the subject is, He's an On-Time God. Hallelujah. We're going to miss little Rachel tonight. She's not here with us. She's doing something very special to her, but we just miss her when she's not. I don't think she's ever missed, praise God, except for in the beginning when she was too shy to come on. So the Lord has used her a little over a year to read Scripture. So if you want to reach us by email, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. You want to turn in any prayer request or praise report. If you have any suggestions, feel free to email us at heisrisen38@aol.com. And we have some callers here tonight. 706-975, come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Sister Green is Frieda Litchfield in Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise the Lord, Sister Frieda. Glad that you called in tonight.
Thank you.
770-584. Come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Praise the Lord, Sister Green, brothers and sisters. This is Pastor John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And glad you all called in tonight. Sister Frieda, go ahead and obey the Lord, sis.
Okay. I'm going to do my short one first, and then I'll do my long one last.
Okay. If you have any prayer requests, turn in your prayer
requests. Well, I got a praise report.
Praise report.
My aunt had got pneumonia the first part of the week, and she is feeling a whole lot better. So I thank the Lord for touching her body.
Amen.
Yeah. There it is. Okay. I'm going to start in Matthew 6, 24 and 25. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And you know, I wouldn't want to, and we've been having some hot temperatures down here, and I was talking to some of my people I've been working with, and I said, I sure don't want to go to the hot place. I said, it's going to be hotter than this, but I ain't going, so I thank the good Lord I'm not going to work. I'm not supposed to be. And 25 says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? You know, I don't worry about it. I've been having a blessed and a wonderful day today, and I said, I don't worry about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink. Me and the Lord talking, and he'll tell me, he said, I want you to do this, I want you to go there. And I said, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do what you want me to do. And the next scripture is Matthew 10, verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. And you know, I do. That's one of my prayers. Lord, I want you to guide my thoughts, my words, where you want me to go. And when you listen to what he tells you to do, he tells you. And I thank the good Lord he is using me for his own glory. Okay, and I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to read some of it, because this is what it came to mind about. He's an on-time God, and you know he is an on-time God. Sometimes you think, and I was talking to one of the friends today, and she said, you know what? I said, what? She said, you always know when I need you to call me. I said, huh? I said, yep, the Lord tells me who to call. Sometimes I'll try to lay down and take a nap or do whatever I want. I think I need, and the Lord will wake me up, and he'll want me to be either praying or he wants me to do whatever he wants. And I just sit there and I do. If he wants me to call somebody to uplift him or just do whatever, I want to be an obedient vessel to my master. Okay, I'm going to start at Ecclesiastes 3, and I'm going to read a few verses. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh and that wherein he laboreth? I shall have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And you know, there is a time for everything. He knows exactly how many hairs we got on our head. He knows exactly what he's doing from the start to the finish. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I praise the Lord that I'm trying to stay in line with what he wants me to do, what he wants me to go, and what he wants me to say. Back to y'all.
Amen. That's wonderful word, Sister Frieda. And that's exactly right. You know, that is so comforting to people that have lost loved ones, that Ecclesiastic chapter 3. And you're so right, and God is right there, always on time for us. And now today is the day of salvation. And as Sister Frieda spoke to you, if you don't know the Lord, like she said, you cannot serve two masters. If you choose today not to serve God, the living God, Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, if you choose not to serve him, you automatically choose to serve the devil, even though you don't may not want to admit that you're serving the devil because you're not serving Jesus Christ. You've not repented of your sins. You've not taken the pardon that he had done, the miracle on the cross where he laid down his life for the remissions of our sins. Praise God. If you don't receive that and you don't believe that and you don't receive it and you say, well, maybe later on I'll get with this, or maybe you think you're too young, or maybe you're just middle age and you just think you've got all this, sin as pleasure for a season, and that's all it is, and it'll take you down the wrong road, and I tell you, you're not promised tomorrow, and if you go out of here, if you die tonight or tomorrow, and you can't answer that heaven would be your home, you're automatically serving the devil. And like she said, you can't serve two masters. You either love one and hate the other. So this is going to be a great broadcast already, I can tell. Thank you, Sister Frieda. That's wonderful. Stay with us, sis.
Okay.
We got some more callers here. Another one just called in, 770-855. Come in, tell us who you are and where you're located. I'm sorry, I forgot to turn your mic on. There you go. 770-855. Come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Yes. This is Robin Gresham. I'm from Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise the Lord, Sister Robin. Sorry about that. I get beside myself and get talking. Okay. Pastor John, come on in and just obey the Lord, brother.
Okay. You can go ahead and let Sister Green, if you want to, go ahead and let Sister Robin give what she has.
Okay. Sister Robin, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Praise the Lord. Go right ahead,
Sister Frieda got some of my scriptures, but that's okay.
Oh, Praise the Lord. That's
I went to Colossians 16 and 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Then I went to Romans 11:36. For of him, through him, to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And then I went back to Ecclesiastes. And I'm starting verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be has already been. And God requireth that which is past. And God had been showing me about the time, that he created the time. God has every second that we could imagine, every second of our life, every second of the day, every second of the night. He has already planned what that's going to be. So that being said, he's always on time for every situation, for every need, for every healing. We serve an on-time God. He created the time. He knows what you're facing, and he knows how to take you through it all the time.
Yes.
And that's what God gave me.
Praise God. Amen, Sister Robin. And that's right. And, you know, the Lord gave us that about a week ago about the subject and about time. Praise the Lord. So that's confirmation, too, to us that we're hearing from the Lord. And we appreciate you calling in and hang in there. Do you have any prayer requests, sis?
I would like everybody to pray for my brother. His name is David. For the past 15 years, he's had a lot of kidney stones. And the last time he went in for surgery, they said he still had about 7 small ones in there. Well, now he's got 1 or 2 that's trying to come forth, but he's developed an infection. So be praying for him, because I know the Lord can heal him.
Amen. That's right. Praise God. We've got another caller here, 205. Area code, and then the first 3 digits are 410. Come in, tell us who you are and where you're located. A 205-410, come in, tell us who you are, where you're located. Praise the Lord. Maybe they'll speak here in a moment.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Okay, my name is Beverly, and I'm from Birmingham, Alabama.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for calling in. Would you like to say anything for the Lord, maybe a praise report?
Well,
glad to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to come on to the program. Brother John and Sister Debbie are my friends, and I love them. And so my friend Frida told me to go on tonight. So I am, and I'm having a wonderful journey with the Lord. And a lot of times, you know, it doesn't seem as if sometimes you're always hearing from him, but the Word of God says that our steps are ordered by the Lord.
Yeah.
So even when I haven't felt as if I was definite for sure God was saying, sometimes I would just go, and I don't know if y'all have heard the expression, it's not in the Bible, but sometimes you feel like you're flying by the seat of your pants. And you just keep going, and sure enough, you find that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And he opens the doors, and sometimes there's only one door that is the possibility. And, of course, that's the only door, and that's the door to go through. And anyway, I just love the Lord tonight, and I'm proud of Pastor John Sample and Sister Debbie, and just love everybody from Zion Tabernacle, and God bless y'all.
Praise the Lord, Sister Beverly. We're so glad you called in tonight. Call in anytime, sis. We turn in prayer requests. We preach. We do all those things, and it's so good to have more to call in like that and knowing that we have more in agreement. He said, any two touching anything on this earth, that it shall be done. So we've got several callers tonight, and that's always encouraging. So we appreciate you so much. And, again, call in any time.
Well, I appreciate y'all. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Stay with us if you like to. Just listen to the broadcast if you like. And
okay.
Pastor John, I'm
talking though.
I'm sorry.
How do I disconnect so I cannot be the one talking?
Oh no, that's okay. We'll just go on and everybody just listens in. You're doing perfect. You're doing fine. If you have a mute button on your phone, you're sure welcome to mute yourself if you want to.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. And Pastor John, I'm going to play this here song, and then we're going to have you come in and obey the Lord. Is that all right, brother?
That's fine, Sister Green. Thank you.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And our subject tonight is He is an on-time God. And if you'd like to be part of this broadcast, it's 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. I love what Sister Beverly said a while ago here, that sometimes you don't know which way to go, but just like that, God, you know, He'll open a door and then you walk through it. And He says that His children knows His voice, and a sheep they will not follow.
Amen.
So I praise
Amen.
God that we hear the voice of God. And we know, praise the Lord, where there's a lady at church, she sings, Lord, tell me where to put my foot down next. Praise God. And I love that song. And that's exactly what we do as we are being led, just like the children led in the wilderness. We are led. Praise God, they were led by a pillar by night and a fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Hallelujah. And we today hear the voice of God by reading His word and just staying in tune with the Lord, living a good, clean life. But you must be saved. That's what we want to express tonight. We're talking to third world countries all over the United States. Praise God, and we love and appreciate the Lord giving us this opportunity. Never is ever going to be a time like coming on the land, praise God, that we've never seen before. There talks about a tribulation, a great tribulation, and if we've ever been in tune with the Lord, it's right now we need to be, praise God, seeking God's face in prayer, fasting, and I'm just going to turn this over to Brother John. And Pastor John, you just go ahead and obey God.
Well, praise the Lord. I appreciate the opportunity to speak the word of the Lord. I don't know. Sister Beverly, are you still on with us? Or she might have muted.
Yeah, she's here.
Oh, God. Praise the Lord. Well, I just wanted to know. I know she had spoken about some prophetic utterance had been given to her about breakthrough. I want to say this before I say God had already dealt with me about that. Not only for those of you that have had breakthrough prophecies given to you, you know, prophecies for the church, the upbuilding of the church, the body of Christ. And I do want to declare for those of you that have received that and been going through the things, you know, the Bible speaks of the time when David was king over Israel, and the Philistines, the enemy, had encompassed around Bethlehem, and he had desired, amen, the water of Bethlehem, amen, and a drink from Bethlehem. And what I want to say to those of you that have received this, that get ready for at the time that you have will have received that for your spiritual breakthroughs. The Bible says, amen, that is going to be also the greatest time to the greatest resistance, as Sister Green was speaking about, Brother Sister Green has been talking about, and what we've been talking about these past few weeks, that at the time when he desired, amen, the Bible speaks of the mighty men of David who had hazarded their lives, and they broke through the lines there, the Philistines, amen, to get that water and brought it back, amen.
Amen.
Greatest resistance. You have to understand that the waters that he desired, the things that we desire tonight, amen, are surrounded by a great resistance of the enemy.
Amen.
The greatest resistance when it comes at that time, amen, they broke through. These mighty men of God, mighty men of David, broke through to bring back that drink offering to David. In fact, the Bible teaches us that they hazarded their lives, amen, to bring back this water that had a desire. You know, the scriptures teach us, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you, Psalm 37, and give you the desires of your heart. Amen. As we delight, as we go with the Lord, amen, the scripture brought out by Sister Melly, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. There is a destined time and a time of destiny as we walk, and that God orders our steps. The Bible teaches in Psalms 119, 105, that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. And so as we are ordered in the steps, and as Sister Green brought out, that we are ordered in the word, that as God speaks to us through his word. So these men broke through, and David felt unworthy to receive that which these men had hazarded their lives. But the Bible says, amen, it's in Psalms 18:29, it says, by thee shall I run through a troop, and by my God shall I leap over a wall. So by God we can do all things. The Bible says, amen, that he is the God of all flesh, and there's nothing too hard for him tonight. And so we need to know that there's resistance. You know, years ago when they first broke the sound barrier, amen, Colonel Yeager, amen, was a test pilot, amen, and they were looking for the speed of sound. Amen. They had a speed that they had to break through, amen, the sound barrier. And at that time, amen, you have to understand that when the first time that they begin to break through, amen, and have this breakthrough, amen, to the sound barrier, amen, before that plane, amen, began to approach that speed of sound, amen, which is the greatest resistance, because you have to understand that right before he broke through, the greatest resistance came over the plane, and the greatest resistance was against the front of the wings. And it seemingly like the aircraft was going to fall apart. And those of you underneath the sound of my voice, seemingly your lives are falling apart, and seemingly things are seeming to be torn about. There's a great wind blowing, amen, but tonight, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, amen, if you not only be a hearer of the word, but be a doer also, when the winds beat vehemently, amen, that house shall stand because you're built upon the rock. And I want to tell you tonight, amen, that when Colonel Yeager, amen, broke that speed of sound, immediately as he broke that breakthrough,
thank you, Jesus,
the sound of the wind resistance went from in front of the plane to behind the plane, and it completely smoothed out.
Amazing.
Church tonight, as you have a breakthrough, when you have a breakthrough, when you are mighty, I'm speaking to mighty men and women of God, bring you back the drink offering to King Jesus. Hallelujah. You've hazarded your lives to bring back the things unto the King of your life. Amen. But hallelujah, everything that you've been given, amen. But by your God tonight, you can leap over a wall, and by your God, you can run through a troop tonight. So I just wanted to give that to you. But tonight, God was dealing with me out of John chapter 11. John chapter 11, speaking of Lazarus, the Bible speaks that it was a certain man, and this man was sick. Amen. Lazarus was the brother of Martha and Mary. Amen. Hallelujah. And Mary was that Mary who had anointed the Lord. Amen. And wiped his feet with her hair. Amen. And he was sick. And the Bible says his sister sent unto the Lord, saying, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. Amen. They had sent for him to come. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that as they come, amen, and sent for him to come, the Bible says in verse 4 that Jesus heard that. He said, this sickness is not unto death. Oh, we make a proclamation. Jesus made a proclamation that Lazarus was not sick unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. In other words, it wasn't a time. It wasn't a time of sickness. Amen. As Sister Freya brought out in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and as Sister Robin brought out later on in chapter about that which has been will be again. Amen. Amen. It talks about, amen, and also in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, that scripture, amen, because the scripture teaches it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Amen. And this sickness, it wasn't a time of sickness. It wasn't a time of death, but it's a time for God's glory. Oh, church, some of you tonight, amen, have sent after Jesus because of the sickness, because of the disease. But, church, you need to know it's a time of God's glory to be revealed.
Amen.
It's a time of resurrecting power. We see it as man's time. Amen. God's time has a completely different timetable than man's time. We see it as a time of affliction. We see it as a time of mourning. But God sees it as a time of glory. Oh, hallelujah. As the two were coming and surrounded by the enemy, the prophet said, what shall we do? Amen. They saw them surrounded by the enemy. The servant of the prophet only saw the enemy. And church tonight, somebody just see the enemy.
But I ask tonight, Lord, open their eyes that they might see that the hill is filled with a chariot of fire. The Bible says in Psalms, I will look unto the hill from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Tonight you need to look unto the hills because the Lord is coming. Oh, he's an on-time God. Amen and hallelujah. The Bible says in Jesus' Lord and Martha and his and her sister and Lazarus. Oh, hallelujah. And the Bible says that when he had heard before that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. When they sent the message to him, he stayed in the same place. You know, church, sometimes, amen, as Jesus stayed in the same place, he didn't move towards Lazarus. He didn't move towards Martha. He didn't move towards Mary. Amen, hallelujah, but he stayed in the same place. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. After 2 days of waiting, after 2 days of watching, he said, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him in verse 8, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. You can go south hither again. Are you going to the place where they said they would stone you? Are you going to the place where they said they would crucify you? Are you going to a place where they said they would slay you? And the Bible says that he answered, he said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not. Because he seeth the light of the world. Hallelujah. We need to know, amen, he's of this world. Amen. There's a light in this world. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was the light of the world. Amen. A city set upon the hill. Church, you as the believers, you as the body of Christ tonight. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in him was the light, and the light was the life of men. As the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light, lights you, lights your candle, lights your life. Gives you life. As he touches your life, amen, he lights that candle. Another candle is lit. Another spirit is revived. Another spirit is restored. That ministry of reconciliation, those restoring of paths, amen, to dwell in, amen. He restores those paths, amen, amen, hallelujah. He builds up the breach, amen. Some of you have had some breaches, and God, as like Nehemiah, he builds the walls of salvation. That's what it declares in Isaiah 60, verse 18, I believe it is. He says, thy walls of salvation and thy gates praise. But the Bible says, hallelujah, hallelujah, that he was coming. He said, he's got to walk with us today. Church today, as believers, we've got to walk with us today that we won't stumble in the darkness. Stumble in the night, stumble in times of death. Amen. He said he must walk, that he may walk in the light of this world. But if a man walketh in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. In other words, he wasn't going to go there in the night. He was going to go there in the day. He was going to work while it's day, for night cometh, which means darkness, which means death. Which means, amen, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. And so he's going to walk while it's day, for night cometh when no man works. He's going to do the works of the Father, amen, hallelujah. And the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 12, these works shall ye do. God speaks to his body, amen, that they shall do the works that Jesus did, and greater works, because he has gone to the Father. They have become one, and as he is interceding, there's a greater works, there's a magnitude, as even tonight as we're reaching out all across the world and saying that this is the time for God's word to come forth to those of you that are sick, that those of you that are afflicted, that those of you are in darkness, that those of you are sitting in the grave, that those of you are life hazards that need to be called out of your place of affliction, called out of your place of the grave. And the Bible says, hallelujah, in verse 11, these things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awaken him out of his sleep. Hallelujah. He was just the sleeping Jesus. The Bible says in Thessalonians, amen, that we will not prevent them that are asleep in Jesus. In other words, when God, Lord Jesus Christ, his sister, Green brought out, amen, in that time, amen, that the Lord would return, amen, hallelujah, he'll come with a shout, with a trump, amen, hallelujah, and those that are asleep in Christ, in dead in Christ, shall rise first, and those that are alive, amen, and remain, shall we ever be with the Lord, we shall all be caught up, we with him, amen, gathered together. It's a gathering time. It's a homecoming time, amen. And that's God's time. No man knows the hour nor the time but the Father. The Bible says, I may be mad because they even ask in Acts chapter 1. I believe it's somewhere around verse 6. It talks about, they ask him if the Lord Jesus Christ, if there would be a time. This would be the time that they would restore the kingdom back to him. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what they asked him in verse 6, to restore the kingdom unto Israel. And he told them in verse 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But if ye shall receive ye shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what we're doing tonight. The power of the Holy Ghost has come. God has reserved this time. Amen. Oh, he's restoring his kingdom already. But it's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God that's within you. It comes without observation. It's the kingdom of heaven. Amen. The pearl of great price. That the Bible says that they're waking him out of sleep. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 10, let him work no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. What did it say? Jesus loved Mary. Jesus loved Martha. Jesus loved Nazareth. The Bible says in John 15, 13, greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friend. That's what he said. He said, oh, I go to awaken my friend Lazarus. He said, I don't call him servant, I call him friend. Amen. Because the servant knows not what the master. Amen. As Sister Frieda brought out, no man can serve two masters, for he'll love the one and hate the other. And that knowing that time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. Church, it's time to awake unto righteousness. It's high time, amen, that America, that all the globe, the world, amen, all countries, everywhere that's listening to the sound of the voice of the wilderness. Hallelujah. I'm just a voice, amen, on the backside of the desert in Thomaston, Georgia, crying out in the wilderness, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But the Bible says, and that knowing that time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation near than when we believe. Oh, church, today, amen, even though Jesus waited another 2 days, salvation for Lazarus, salvation for Mary, salvation for Martha, salvation for you is nearer than you believe tonight. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that his disciples didn't understand. Amen. They misunderstood the truth. They said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. In verse 12, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking up rest in sleep. Oh, hallelujah. And he said plainly unto them, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Amen. He would, because their intent, Mary and Martha's intent, was to keep him alive. Amen. But you know what, church? Amen. Our intent is just to keep it alive. But, church, that's not the intent. God's intent, his time, it's on time, God. I'm talking about on time. That just didn't want to keep it alive. He wants to make it come back alive. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Bible said, Thomas, amen, which is called Didymus with his fellow disciples. He said, let us all go that we may die with him. Amen. You know, we get wrapped up sometimes in a zeal. Oh, well, let's go and die with Lazarus. Amen. Lazarus has died. It must be a great thing. You know, people have come enamored with death. Amen. They have courted death. They have held on to death. Amen. And they've made death purified it. They've burned it up. Come on, church. They've glorified it. Amen. The death doesn't need to be glorified, church. Only the Son of God, only the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be glorified. Hallelujah. And the Bible says when Jesus came, amen, when Jesus came, they had found that he had was laid in the grave 4 days already. That's man's time. They had to lay the man in a grave, and he was already there for 4 days when Jesus came.
Hallelujah.
And the Bible says, hallelujah, that Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem. Like I said, salvation was nearer than belief. He wasn't that afar off. He's not a God that's afar off tonight, church. He's a God that is at hand. And the Bible says, to comfort them concerning that their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Oh, hallelujah. You know why Mary sat still in the house? She had learned to sit at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. She had sat still. Oh, church, tonight, we need to sit still sometimes. Amen. And see the salvation. Mm-hmm. We need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And we need to be still and know that he got. Hallelujah. We need to come before him as it says in Psalms. There's a time that, amen, we need to let him speak into our hearts. Hallelujah. Yes. And know that he is God. He was getting ready to show his glory. They were getting ready to behold the glory of God in the place of death. God shows his glory in the midst of adversity. God shows his glory in the midst of death. God shows his glory in the midst of mourning. Oh, he was coming, amen, with the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He was coming with beauty for ashes. He was coming with the oil of joy for mourning. He was coming with all of God, because the Bible says in Isaiah 61 that the spirit of the Lord God was upon him to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen, the day of his vengeance. Hallelujah, to bind up the broken heart. He was coming for all those in church tonight. He's coming. If you'll allow him right now, he'll come and bring a resurrected. Those of you that are hiding in the stone of the graves, amen, those of you are hiding in caves where death is, amen. They tell me there in the tomb of Lazarus that it was 27 steps down into that cave. No matter how long you've laid in death, God can call you out and pull you up and resurrect you and set you right. He can cause you, because there's an awakening. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first Adam was flesh, but the second Adam was a quickening spirit. Amen. A natural man. This second Adam was Jesus Christ. He was coming for awakening. He's coming for an awakening in your life. He's coming for an awakening for you to be healed. He's coming for an awakening to quicken you. He's coming for an awakening to call you up and to resurrect his holy church tonight. Hallelujah. If you receive him, if you'll listen for him. He said that I know, and then in verse 21, he said, that's true. He could have kept Lazarus from dying. But even more so than that, he that which is dead shall live again. He said in Revelation, I am Jesus. Amen. I am he which was, which is, and which is to come. Amen. He said, he that was dead and alive forevermore. Church, for you to be resurrected. Lazarus had to go through the crucifixion. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 and 20 that we are crucified with Christ. Yet I live. But it's not I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in all of the believers. It's the resurrected Christ that lives in all of us. And tonight, those of you that don't know him, he can live in you right now if you receive him. You were crucified. Your sins were laid on the cross at Calvary. It was the time, the fullness of time. He come forth made of a woman, and he hung on the cross. It was that time. Now is the accepted time. If you will accept him, it's your time. Your time can be God's time, spiritual. You need to know that. You know what? You need to fill out your appointments. You need to fill out your calendar, and not literally, but what I'm trying to say is, amen, amen, God sets our time. We're on God's timetable tonight. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God's time. Hallelujah.
And when man thought it was too late, when he was already in the grave for 4 days, and the Bible said, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. I know. She had a knowledge. She had a knowledge. Jesus said unto her, my brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. That's not what he was talking about. Some of you have even said, well, I know my husband might rise up someday. He might go to church someday. Or I know my wife will do this someday. Or she might come to Jesus someday. Or I know my sons. My sons were preachers. My daughters were in ministry. They were in church. But they've gotten away. They're in the place of Lazarus. They're sick. Amen. They're sin sick. They've been bitten by the serpent. The fiery serpent have come in and bitten them. But church tonight, he said, if I be lifted up, amen, if the Son of Man be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. There was a gathering tonight. If you've been bitten by sin, if you, the
Bible says that the amen that a serpent went back with that enchantment, and the battle is no better. You need to know tonight that all you got to do is look unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of your faith. You need to look on, amen, as they looked upon the Hesychon, the raging serpent in the wilderness, and as Christ was lifted up on the cross at Calvary and Golgotha, amen, that was God's time, amen, it was accepted time. For a moment in time, he had to turn his back on his own son. For a moment in time, amen, he took on your sins and my sins. For a moment in time, he was wounded for our transgressions. For a moment in time, he was bruised for our iniquity, our guilt. That was my guilt. But, amen, you don't even have to accept it. I said, it was my guilt that put him on the cross. It was my transgression. It was my sins that put him on the cross. But because of heaven, it was his love. Amen. Because love wasn't no guilt. It was his love that held him there. It wasn't the nails. It was the love, amen, that he had for me. Hallelujah. I'm taking it personally tonight. You need to take it personally. He held it on the cross because it was his time. It was his time to redeem me. The Bible says, let the Lord be redeemed of the Lord. Faith, so I'm declaring to you tonight. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I want to declare it to you. It's time that you declare that you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, just tell you that he said, Jesus said unto him, verse 25, I am the resurrection. She said, I know he'll rise up in the resurrection. Resurrection's already here, church. What did they say in Ecclesiastes? Not that which has been, has already been. The resurrection's already here. Resurrection power is already here. When he resurrected on that third day, that was the appointed time. This was the fourth day. They thought it was impossible for anyone to be resurrected on the fourth day. Hallelujah. But on that fourth day. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But on that third day. He laid in there for 3 days. Amen. That's as long as death can hold life. Hallelujah. It couldn't hold on to him any longer. Church, if he can't hold on to him, can't hold on to you. He is life. He said that in John chapter 14, verse 6. Amen. Not only is he life, but the Father has given him, amen, the Father is life. And the Bible says this. And the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, here's the yet. Oh, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Yeah, but because I am here, he's going to live. Church tonight, your brothers, your sons, your daughters, many of you said, it's time to give up. It's time to throw in the towel. It's time to just, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, it's not about what we're going to do tonight. But if we'll do the word of God, if we'll speak the word of God, if we'll speak the word only, your servant shall be healed, just like the centurion. He couldn't do anything. He was a man of authority, but you know what? He couldn't do anything for his servant. His finances. Many of you even said, even recently, well, if I had enough money, you know, I could do that for this. It's not about your money. It's not about your wealth. It's not about your riches. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ in our church.
Amen.
You would have already done it. It's not about, there's nothing we can do. He said, without me in John chapter 15, we can do nothing. But tonight, amen, it's the on time God. If we'll receive him, we'll accept him. Amen. He's come to our circumstances and situation. That whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? In other words, if you live in him and he lives in you, if you believe in him, if you have faith in him, you shall never die. You have to understand something. A believer gives their life. A believer gives their life. A believer already dies when they give their life to Christ. I've already died, church. Death can't come again to me again. This old tabernacle, oh, it's getting older, and it's going to lay down one day. The Bible says, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 4:16, that the outward man perish. My body's dying, but my spirit is alive and well in Jesus Christ. One day we're going to lay this old body down someplace in a grave, but the resurrection lives within me. Amen. The body might be going down, but the spirit's going up. It's going to the presence of the Lord. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. She said to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master has come and calleth for thee. Church, tonight you need to know something. The Master has come and calling for you tonight. Calling for you. Calling for the Marthas that have come out to meet him. Calling for the Marys that are sitting home at night waiting for the Lord to do something.
Hallelujah.
Calling for the Lazaruses that have already died and laying in the tomb and the stone and they've got the grave. God is calling your name tonight. God is calling you out of the places where you're at right now. I don't care where you're at. He's calling you. He's calling you from the north, the south, the east, and the west tonight, church. And the Bible says, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came into him. And Jesus, now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Oh, church, you know what, tonight? Jesus is still in the first place where you first met him.
Amen.
He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Many of you have walked away from him tonight, but you need to know tonight, he's right there where you left him. Just like his mother and son. When they went, amen, in the feast, and they went, amen, and hallelujah, that it had gotten so big in the crowd. Oh, church, listen to me now. I'm speaking to you tonight. Mary and Joseph lost their own child in the crowd. Church, don't leave Jesus in the crowd. There's too many, amen. The crowd's done got so big, amen, we lose out Jesus in the way. And as they begin to walk, they realize at the time that Jesus was not with them any longer. And they began to backtrack, amen. Amen. And when they came in, they finally got back to the temple, amen. That's where Jesus, he was still in the same place where they left him. Hallelujah. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Right now, you can, wherever you left and down the road, I'm talking to you drug addicts. I'm talking to you alcoholics. I'm talking to you that misuse. I'm talking about to you abusers. I'm talking to you that are feminine. I'm talking to you, amen, hallelujah, that are abusing your own self. I'm talking to you about these, amen, that have done things, amen. Forget those things which are behind. Amen. I'm talking about you that are bitterness in your heart. I'm talking about you that are clamor. I'm talking to you that have unforgiveness and against your loved ones or things that I'm talking to you tonight that, amen, without the forgiveness, when you pray, God will not hear you. You have to forgive also before you can be forgiven tonight. And tonight, church, put everything away except Jesus. Put everything away but the treasure of heaven. And the Bible says, the Jews can go search.
I believe we've lost Pastor John. He was preaching really good, praise the Lord. Maybe he'll get to call back in there and finish there. What are you saying?
Hello?
Praise God, Brother John.
I'm back, sister.
Okay, praise the Lord. Go ahead, brother.
I had to come and see to save the call that was lost. Evidently, we went through a dead zone. See, the devil didn't want you to hear this message tonight. He didn't want even you to hear the voice of God tonight, the word of God. Amen. The Bible says that those that were around there believed that she went to the grave to weep there.
Amen.
Then when, verse 32, then when Mary saw was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. There again, here's Mary. She's always at the feet of Jesus. That's the learning place. There's healing. Tonight, church, there's healing at the feet of Jesus. Tonight,
amen,
there's learning at the feet of Jesus. Tonight, at the feet of Jesus. You know, when Mary and Martha were, amen, one time Martha was troubled because she was serving the Lord, and here Mary had chosen the good part. She had sat at the feet of Jesus to learn. Church, tonight, we have to sit at the feet of Jesus. We have to wait for that promise upon high before we can go and minister to others. Amen. But as we minister to others, we learn at the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
The Bible says in verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, amen, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And they said unto him, where have you laid him? And he also wept, in verse 35. And then some of them come in verse 30 say, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaned within himself, coming to the grave, into the cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time, that was Martha's time. He's an on-time God. He said, take away the stone. Take away the stone. By this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Hallelujah. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God. Church, tonight, if you'll believe, you don't have to go to the places of death and see your loved ones dead. You'll see the glory of God. tonight, as God declares unto you tonight, do you want to see the glory of God? If you'll believe tonight, you'll see the glory of God. You'll see the glory of God in your circumstances. You'll see the glory of God in your situation. You'll see the glory of God in your children. You'll see the glory of God in your husband. You'll see the glory of God in your church. You'll see the glory of God everywhere you go. You'll see the glory of God. Things will come alive because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then they took away the stone from the place. First thing we got to do is take away the stone, church. That's what he done in the vineyard. He took away all the stones, the stumbling blocks, the things that hinder. The stone was rolled away from his tomb. The stone was rolled away from Lazarus' tomb. The stones are rolled away. They're being taken away. Those that have been hindering you, those that have caused you to stumble and fall, they've been taken away. The only stone that's left is the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus lifted up their eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said unto thee, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. When he had thus spoke, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, hallelujah. Lazarus, come forth. You know, the Bible teaches us in John chapter 5, verse 24. He said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, nor within the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. If you believe in him tonight, you've passed from death unto life. Oh, Lazarus has already had passed from death unto life. Verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear, verse 25, the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Lazarus, come forth. He heard the voice of God in the grave, the Son of God. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to give life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in that which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Oh, hallelujah. He said that hour that those that would hear his voice, but you know what, even a greater marvel than that, the hour is coming when all of us will hear his voice. All of us will hear his voice. That's what it says in verse 28. And shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. He said, I am the resurrection. Which resurrection are you going to come forth to? The resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation? I pray that it's the resurrection of life. We have a choice, just as Sister Green has said earlier. And the Bible says, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin, just like Jesus. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. He doesn't need that napkin anymore. Oh, Jesus did. Folding the napkin in his grave. He didn't need that anymore. He didn't need those grave clothes anymore. Hallelujah. He's putting on new garments. He's putting on wedding garments. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them, here's what happened. Some of them went in the ways and went to the Pharisees. They have saw the resurrection. They have saw a man who has been dead. So they see a man that was dead, amen. They will not believe because they've had the prophets, all the words that were spoken of by the prophets and the law. Just like the rich man, he had five brothers. He said, he told Lazarus the beggar, this is a different Lazarus. Told Lazarus the beggar, he said, go back and tell my five brothers. He said, though a man raised from the dead, they will not believe him. We've already got his word. We've already got his word. Then the Bible said they gathered. I'm going to hurry up real quick here. The Bible says this. He said in verse 38, they come to Caiaphas. They come and he said, if we let him alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take him away both our place and nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, which being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. This was God's timetable. He prophesied. He didn't say this on his own. He prophesied this, that one man should die for the people. And he spake this not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. In other words, the nation of Israel. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then that from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. That was his life. Psalms 101, and I'm going to get back to you. Bible says, don't stand in the counsel of the ungodly, or blessed is the man who stands not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sin, or sits in the seat of the scornful, walks in the counsel of the ungodly. This was ungodly counsel. But tonight, there'll be somebody that'll see the resurrection of the dead, and they'll still go to them. And the first thing he did was seek to destroy Jesus. Tonight you represent Jesus, and you're going to be hated, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to go through all these. Some of you, even now, unfortunately, are going to be delivered up to death. I didn't say that. The Word of God says that. Where do you stand today? Do you believe in Him? Are you coming forth? Because in His time, He's an on-time God tonight. Will you come forth as Lazarus did, not bound, set free by the power of God? For who the Son is set free is free indeed. Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise the Lord. Enjoyed that wonderful word, Pastor John. And do you have any prayer requests, Brother John?
Pray for our local church and just pray for the persecution around the world. Just pray for these weary souls. And I'm just believing that as he showed Ezekiel, the Valley of Dead Bones, that these can live again. They can
yes,
live again.
Amen. Praise God. We're going to pray here in just a moment. Sis, I'm going to got some more prayer requests. Look, Luanda Turner says she has an unspoken request. Sister Lily Torres says remember her and her family. Lodima Stikeleather says remember her and her husband, John. Also remember Danielle Rogers has an unspoken request. Ann Higginbotham says people needing work, remember them. Also her grandson is having surgery. And her kid's a stepmother. She has cancer. Judy Williams says needs a house to rent. Lorna Millette, praise God. Sister Lorna says, please remember her in prayers, not feeling well. But also she has an unspoken request to the Lord, knows all about it. Praise God. And all the requests mentioned here through the callers on broadcast radio here just tonight. Remember all them, but I want to, what Pastor John was preaching about to you. If that's you and you're wrapped in those grave clothes, you know, the Bible says, oh grave, where's your victory? And death, where's your sting? Let's talk about the sting of death. The sting of death is sin. And if that's you and you're wrapped in the clutches of sin, has just got a hold of you, and you need to pray, and God can loosen you as he did Lazarus from the death. Praise God. Lazarus wasn't in sin. He loved the Lord. And Jesus wept, praise God, when he heard that Lazarus had died. And in my personal opinion, I believe he wept because of their unbelief. They knew he was going to resurrect at the resurrection day. Praise God, at that first resurrection when the trump shall sound, the last trump, praise God. But Jesus knew, even though he was looked like he was 4 days late, he was right on time. Praise
Amen.
God, that was a wonderful word, Brother John. And if that's you and the collective sin has a hold of you and has wrapped you, praise the Lord. That's with the, oh death, where's your sting? That the sting of death is sin. And we can be loosened. We are loosened when we call upon Jesus. That's what he came. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he said that he must go away. And he said that he would pray the Father, he'd send you another comforter. Praise the Lord. And the Lord speaks to us today. He's right on time. Praise God. And I can't get over that with Sister Beverly had said to you that sometimes she doesn't know. We don't know which way we're going to turn, which way we're going to go. But just like that, God will open a door. And, you know, just like that, Jesus came to the tomb, and he called Lazarus to come forth, and he came forth, praise the Lord. And he said, loose him. And the grave clothes fell off, praise the Lord. And just like that, God can deliver you from drugs, alcohol. Maybe you're going through a divorce. He could put your family back together. Praise God. God can do awesome, wonderful, mighty things. You may be
Amen.
Diagnosed with cancer, diabetes, any kind of heart failure, all kind of diseases. But you know what? God can set you free. Praise the Lord. God is good. Let's go to prayer. Hallelujah. While we're feeling this, that was great word, Brother John.
Thank you,
Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask you to move on each and every prayer request, Lord, spoken and unspoken. Each caller here represented tonight, Lord, move on their families, Lord, save their souls, God, in the third world country, Lord, they that are persecution, Lord, but your name's sake, God, Lord, deliver them, Lord, they're in the inner prisons, Lord, because they've read your word, and they're reading the gospel, and they're being persecuted, Lord, we're asking to make a way of escape, Lord, praise God. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory, Lord, because you're broadcast, Lord. Thank you for touching me, dear God. We may never meet them, Lord, but praise God, you know right where they are, Lord. Send your still
ones that are just curious, God, we ask
God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, set them free, God, of sin, drugs, of alcohol, of sickness, of diabetes, heart disease, of cancer. We rebuke cancer in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then that are eternally bleeding, Lord. God, Ezekiel 16:6 says, though I was polluted in my blood, God, ye shall live.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God.
Thank
you,
thank you, dear God.
Thank you for AIDS.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, for moving, Lord. Praise God. I'm believing in good reports, dear God, of this here broadcast, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let them go back, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for moving. Don't be like the nine lepers that didn't go back and thank Jesus. The one that was healed, praise the Lord, he went back and thanked the Lord. Go back and thank him for moving for you today. Praise God. Let this song right here bless you. It's all about what Pastor John just preached about.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise.
The news came to you. Please come
here. Hallelujah.
Let with this sick and without your help, he will not last.
Hallelujah.
Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus. He did not come. And they wonder why. The death watch was over.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Mary, Lord, church.
Lord, hallelujah.
Here, the Lord's on
you touch the soul of God and that you would reach him.
Martha ran to
Father
him.
God, the Lord, put your hand upon him. God, you just pray for him.
Lord, if you had been here, you could have healed him.
He told
him,
I wanted to see
God, hallelujah, and that's what this broadcast is all about tonight, is he's on-time God, praise the Lord. If you want to be part of the broadcast, it's 347-989-8862, again, 347-989-8862. Why don't you call in right now, praise God, if that's you that's been preached to tonight. Once you call in and confess, you know, the Bible says that once you pray and confess your sins before the Lord, to confess it with your mouth, to speak it openly, testify, and tell what God has done for you. Once you call in, again, it's 347-989-8862. Praise God. You're giving God all the glory for being your God, being your Savior, and you're black in the devil's eye. Hallelujah. Praise God. And at this time, we're going to turn this over to my husband, Brother Clint Green, and he's going to obey God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank the Lord for what he's already doing. And I know he's touching hearts out there, and people's no doubt responded to the call of Christ. And hopefully you repented of your sins, and we believe that some have. We may never hear from you. But we still believe that God is working in your life. And, you know, he tells us today that his word will not return void, but it'll accomplish that whereto he sent it. And we're thankful for all that's been preached here tonight, the scriptures that's been read and the things that's been said. And we thank every one of you for coming on. If there's anybody else out there that's listening in that wants to get in here and preach a little while or give your testimony, we'd be happy to have you come in and help us out here tonight. And we're on the subject, he's an on-time God. We know today that he's on time. He's never too late, just like the song said. Brother John preached it there about Lazarus, how that Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, and he called him forth, and he told him to roll away the stone, you know. And, you know, you, just like Brother John said, people's got stones in their life, and they've got things that's hindering them from obeying God. And I tell you what, God is no respecter of persons tonight. If you get down to business with God and you call on the name of the Lord, you know, it's high time, the Bible says, to awake out of sleep. And you know, it's time to put on the righteousness of God. It's time that we get our house in order. It's time that we make an altar unto God somewhere. It's time to get down to the foot of the cross and call on that wonderful name of Jesus. There's none other name under heaven given whereby that we might be saved. But it's only through the blood of Jesus that we can find salvation in. It's only through that name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, someday the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And you know, there's coming a day when the ones that pierced him in the side and and the ones that nailed him to the cross and those that crucified him and stood in that crowd and cried, crucify him, crucify him. Well, they're one day going to stand before that man that died on that cross, and they're going to look him in the face, and they're going to see the nail prints in his hands, and they're going to see those nail prints in his feet, and they're going to know that this was the man that they rejected when they began to say, give us Barabbas. We want Barabbas. We don't want Jesus. And we have no king but Caesar. But I tell you what, he was a merciful Savior, praise God. And he came into this world that he might seek and to save that which is lost. And when he was dying on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, they didn't know what they were doing. They were blinded. They could not see as far as in the spiritual realm I'm talking about. They had eyes to see, but they saw only could see a man. They could not see that he was the Son of Man, that he was the one that was prophesied by the prophets. You know, they prophesied just on time, right on time. And all the promises of God that Christ could come into the world, these promises came right on time. And God is a faithful God, and he'll be there when we call on his name, when we call on that name of Jesus. We can expect to get results if we've been living right, if we've been obeying God. We expect, you know, because God is not a respecter of person, but he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I want to read a scripture here tonight found in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. I want to start with this, praise God. And I heard some of what's been preached already, praise God. And I might have missed a little bit, but I want to read here Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So they was asking a question there, and they wanted to know, when is all these things going to happen? When is this temple going to be destroyed? And when will it, when is the sign of thy coming? When you come back again, what is the sign and of the end of the world? And they wanted to know these things. And Jesus answered in verse 4, and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. There in verse 8, he said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. But you see, we have seen all these things come to pass. And we know that the temple was destroyed in 70 A.D., the temple that he was looking at right there. And they were saying, look at all these beautiful stones and things, you know. And he said, these things are going to be thrown down. There's not going to be left one stone upon another. And they said, well, tell us, when is it going to happen? When's it going to come to pass? And he began to tell them. And he gets down to verse 8, and he said, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. So I believe he was saying here, it's going to get worse. This is the beginning of sorrows, but it's going to get worse. And I'll tell you what, I believe we're getting close to that time when it's going to get worse, praise God, because, you know, Jesus came at appointed time. He came at a time when they were crucifying men upon a cross. And the Bible had already told us that cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. So when Christ died and they rejected him, he told them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And that brought in you and I, which are Gentiles. That brought in every kingdom, nation, and tongue, which God had already prophesied back in the Old Testament to Abraham. And he had told Abraham, he said, I believe it's in chapter 12 of Genesis, how God spoke to Abraham, and he said, I'm going to bless all the families of the earth. Praise God. He didn't say, I'm just going to bless Israel, but he said, I'm going to bless all the families of the earth. Because, see, God knows, like somebody said tonight, that God knows the end from the beginning, and he already knew what he was going to do in this great salvation plan. And I'm turning over here to chapter 12, and I want to read it to you. It's Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. But I want to start at verse 1. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Praise God. And this is the verse I want you to see, verse 3 of chapter 12 of Genesis. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So when he said, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, I'll tell you what it done. It brought you and I in, praise God, us that were Gentiles, that were not born of a natural a Jew, that we were not of the tribes of Israel, but we were Gentiles, and we were outside of the covenant of Israel. But you know, God, way back there, had given Abraham a promise that in his seed, you know, he's talking about the seed, he's talking about Jesus. He's not talking about seeds of many, but he's talking about one seed, and that seed was Christ. Praise God. And through Christ, the seed of Abraham, praise God, there came the Lamb of God. There came the one born of Mary there in Bethlehem of Judea, which was prophesied by the prophet, I believe it was Micah. In 5 and 2, he talked about how that he would be born in Bethlehem, and he would be of the house of David. And we go on here, and we find that God is an on-time God, and he's right on time, and he's never too late. He'll be on time for you and I, because he was on time for those people in the Old Testament. He came right on time. And I was reading here in Matthew 24, and many things are going to happen. I was looking here at verse 9, and the Bible said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. He said, of all nations. And I want to tell you tonight, there's going to be a great persecution that's coming to the Christian world. And we see right now the handwriting is on the wall. We see the spirit of the Antichrist that's working in our schools and in our governments and in our everywhere you go. They don't want you to preach Christ. You can talk about God, and you can call him different names if you want to, but there's one true God, and his name is Jehovah, praise God. And he sent his son into this world that we might be saved, and we can be saved. The Bible said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, we must believe on that wonderful name of Jesus, because that's what the angel said. Want to go over into Matthew chapter 1. Praise God. and talking about Jesus coming right on time. The Bible said, I believe Brother John brought it out, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman under the law. I forget, it's in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. This is Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. And over in Matthew, the Bible tells us here, I want to read verse 1 and 23 in Matthew. It says, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So we see, even in the Old Testament, the promises was made. In chapter 3 of Genesis, the Bible tells us, in verse 15, that there was a promise given there. In chapter 3 and 15th verse, the promise of the seed of the woman, and that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. And we know that this seed of the woman was Christ Jesus that was to come. And we know that shortly after that, you know, there in Genesis that she had, Eve had two sons, and the one son rose up, Cain rose up against Abel and slew Abel. And Abel, the Bible tells us, was a prophet. I believe it's in somewhere in Luke 23 or Matthew 23, somewhere there. It talks about all the blood being shed from the prophet Abel unto to Zacharias there somewhere. And some of you Bible students would know that, but everybody wouldn't. But it's in there. I believe it's Matthew 23. And we go back into Genesis. There was the promise, the seed would come that would bruise the serpent's head. And you see, the devil, is, all these many years, has tried to stop. He tried to stop the seed from coming. And that's why Cain rose up and killed Abel, because Abel was righteous, and Cain allowed the devil somehow to get into him, or to talk him into killing his brother. And you know, he surely loved his brother, but you know, the devil got a hold of him, and people will do things that they wouldn't normally do when the devil gets a hold of them. And there's many innocent people been killed because the devil got a hold on somebody or entered into somebody. The Bible tells us that the devil entered into the serpent, and he went into the garden and he deceived Eve, and she ate of the tree, and she gave to her husband, and he ate also, and they were driven out of that beautiful garden. The Bible said there in Genesis 3:23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, so that they couldn't go back in the garden and eat of that tree of life. And he said that when they sinned, when they broke the law of God, that they would surely die. And so they was on their way to the graveyard when they began sinning, praise God. But, you know, God had mercy, I believe, on Adam. And the Bible said they saw that they were naked, and they tried to clothe themselves, and they sewed fig leaves together. But I'll tell you what, that's a kind of a thing, if you look at it this way, is like a false religion. You can get yourself all wrapped up in the grave clothes, you might say, or in the fig leaves, or whatever you put on, and you might think it makes you holy, but you got to have your heart changed in order for anything else to be any good for you also, because if the heart's not right, there ain't nothing else going to be right. Praise God, because God is not going to accept anything that's unclean. He didn't want the sacrifices in the Old Testament they brought, and they would brought the ones in that was lame and was blind and different things, and God would not accept those sacrifices. We're talking about an on-time God. Now, I'm telling you that the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and to have it more abundantly, and that's in John 10 and 10. Now, you see, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's come to take away, and he did not want Christ to come into this world. And you know, men to begin to call, the Bible said that Eve had another son, and his name was Seth. And it said then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And that's in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 25. It says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said she, in other words, Eve said, he hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And so it says there in verse 26 of chapter 4, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. And we find out in chapter 5 how that in chapter 5 it sounds like there was a great revival going on, that men walked with God and talked with God. And the Bible says in chapter 5 and verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And we find out that some of these men lived long lives, and that they walked with God. And we find in verse 26, and Methuselah lived after begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 960 and 9 years. So they were blessed because they walked with God, and they began to call upon the name of the Lord. And we see that the devil, he started his revival, and he started corrupting men's minds and doing working on people because they began to lose out with God. They began to backslide on God. But I'm telling you, God is on-time God. And he raised up a man called Noah, praise God. And let me see if I can find it here in verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son.
Amen.
And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. He was 777 years, 777. Praise God. This was a man of God, and this was a man that prophesied. And he said that Noah was going to be a blessing to the whole world, basically is what he said. And you don't just prophesy without God being in your life. You might, there might be some cases where that might happen. I wouldn't say it's impossible that God can do anything he wants to do. Just like Brother John said, the high priest prophesied that one man should die for the whole nation, that the whole nation would not perish. Well, he didn't really know what he was saying, but he was the high priest, and the Spirit of God spoke through him somehow or another. And we know God can do things that we don't normally think he's going to do. He used a donkey one day and spoke through that donkey to try to turn that one man of God around there. Balaam, as he was going down to the king to curse the children of God. But, you know, God is on-time God. And when he got there, he was not able to curse the children of God. But he got up there and he gave his, they made their sacrifices. He began to speak. And when he began to speak, God began to speak through him. And, you know, I think that's in Numbers, somewhere around the 22nd chapter that you can find that. But I tell you, God's on-time God tonight, and he'll never be too late. Praise God. I want to go a little further here. And God, and it came to pass in chapter 6 there, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and it goes on to tell us how they took wives of all they chose. See, they didn't pray about taking a wife. They just looked to which ones might have looked the best, or maybe their daddy owned the farm or something like that, and they took them wives of all they chose. And the Lord said in verse 3, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." And we begin to see how he spoke to Noah. The Bible said in verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And verse 9 says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." See, Noah also walked with God, just like Enoch walked with God, and just like you and I can walk with God today if we will lay aside the things that's hindering us from walking with God, and we begin to clean up our conversation. You know, I've never seen a time when Christian people use all these slang words in their vocabulary, and these slang words sometimes mean bad words. And I'll tell you what, God's not pleased. When I was a child, and I was a little boy and living down in Tennessee, and we went to the Church of God, and my dad and my mom, they taught us that you don't use these slang words because they mean bad words a lot of times. You know, how does God look at these things? And how far today has many of the church leaders and the denominations have backslid on God? And there's a great falling away. Praise God. I'm not happy about it, but I'm telling you, if you look around and see, half of the church world does not even know how to dress. They don't dress appropriate. They're not modest in the way they dress, and the speech, when you talk to some of them, you wonder what kind of garbage can have they been eating out of. I guess I'm judging a little bit here, but the Bible said we know the tree by the fruit that it bears. And I tell you, we need to get some of that bad fruit off of these trees. We need to trim a few limbs, and we need to get the thing working right, praise God, because if we don't, well, you know, it's going to come to pass anyway that the Bible said there'd be a great falling away, and the man of sin will be revealed one of these days in 2 Thessalonians, and Antichrist is on his way, and the mark of the beast is coming at a certain time. And all these things are going to happen. But Noah saved the human race and saved that seed to come into this world. And God used Noah, and he was a righteous man. And God spared Noah because he basically put his hand to the plow, like the Bible said, put your hand to the plow. And don't look back. Just keep on plowing till Jesus comes. Keep on tilling the ground. You know, there in Genesis, he said there's not a man to till the ground. Well, we're made out of dirt, me and you. And we're tilling the ground tonight. And I hope we can till it deep enough that we can get right down to your heart and where you're living at. But let's live holy, righteous, and godly in this present life. Let's look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, And if we got things in our life we need to clean up, let's clean them up. Praise God. Let's get ready for Jesus to come, because he is coming right on time, just like we started out here in Matthew 24. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, and when shall all these things be? And he began to tell them, praise God. And I tell you, if you read through the scripture, you'll find out tonight that God is not going to lose the battle. You'll find out over there in the book of Revelation that there's coming a day when the judge of this whole earth is going to sit up on a great white throne, and all the worlds are going to be gathered. And we see in Matthew 25, he gathered all nations, the Bible said, and he set the goats on the left side, on the left hand, and the sheep he brought over on the right hand. And he told them to enter in to the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth, to enter in to the joy of the Lord. But he told the goats on the left hand, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And he said, there's many people will say that I've cast out devils. We have cast out devils, done many wonderful works. He's going to say, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. I want to tell you tonight, please, get your house in order. If you're using slang words that are ungodly, I want to tell you tonight, please, clean up your conversation. God is looking for a holy people, and he's not going to let just anything enter into the pearly gates of glory. Praise God. Now, I want to turn it back for a minute to my wife here and let her say a few things. I've got some more scriptures. I'm hoping somebody else might have called in. I don't know what's going on here. I'll turn it to her.
Hallelujah. I'm going to play this song here, and I hope you enjoy it. It's an old song, and I looked it up, found it on YouTube, never heard it before, but listen to this. Hope it blesses you.
Have you ever prayed and couldn't get an answer? Have you ever talked to Jesus?
God, it seems like I have heard that song before, and just forgotten it. But praise the Lord, he's an on-time God, and that's what this broadcast is all about tonight. And if you'd like to be part of it, we encourage you to call in. We have about 10 minutes left. It's 347-989-8862. And the Lord was dealing with me, praise the Lord, when he gave this here subject to us. talking about in Exodus. I believe Brother John might have covered some of it too, and Brother Green might have said something about it. And I was thinking about how God had hardened Pharaoh's heart. And, you know, God, I got to thinking about that. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened because of his own lust and his own self-pride about his having the slaves there and using the Hebrew children as his slaves, and they wanted to be free. And Moses was spoken to by God and said, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And we know the story how the plagues came upon Egypt, and Pharaoh would change his mind, and he was going to let them go, and then he would harden his heart again, and he would decide that, no, he's not going to let the people go. And how it got all the way down to where the children were backed up against the Red Sea, and how in Exodus chapter 14, it talks about, and he made ready his chariots in verse 6, and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots. We're talking about Pharaoh and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened his heart, hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and all his horsemen and army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pharaoth before Bethzephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto God. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is it not this word that we did tell in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness? And I want to tell you today, praise God, persecution is coming upon the land. It's Bible, and he said in Matthew 24, as my husband was reading, about how when this gospel is preached into all the world, then, and for his name's sake, they'll persecute you. Then is the beginning of the end. Praise God. And you know, this here looked like the end for the Hebrew children, for them that were led out of Egypt. Praise God, God's children. And verse 13 said, and Moses said unto them, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. And the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Praise God. So those that are in third world countries and you're facing persecution, you know, I believe it's coming to America, and I believe it's going to be to all the Christians, praise God. But, you know, we've got a way of escape. God is going to help us. He's going to see us through. He's an on-time God. Right now is the day of salvation. Moses said, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. I'm telling you today, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Praise God. If they tell you that they're going to cut your head off, and I know that sounds graphic, but it's true. It's what's going on over in other countries. There's Philistines. They're ordering them by the numbers. Even in our own country, we hear certain groups are ordering these. And there's black coffins. There's camps called FEMA camps. There's things. Search those on Google those. Praise the Lord on YouTube. FEMA camp. FEMA camps. And look up the black coffins. Look up Philistines. Look up these things. Search these things out. It's true. It's happening today. Praise God, right here in our own land. But he said, stand still. see the salvation of the Lord. He said, fear ye not. This is Moses talking to them. And, you know, this is the Lord speaking through Moses, telling us today. You know, the Old Testament is a type and shadow of today. Praise God. I know that many preach that the church will be out of here before all this comes to pass. But, you know, I can tell you right now, under the sound of my voice, there's people every day in third world countries that are being persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ, because they took on the name of Jesus. And I want to tell you, fear ye not, praise God, because God, praise the Lord, I tell my children all the time, if it comes to that day and if they're telling you that they're going to take off your head, or if they're going to take off your mom and dad's head, you denounce Christ. I said, you do not denounce Christ for nothing. I said, because I'll see you over yonder, and praise God. You know, the devil would love to throw fear on you, but I got a news for you. You do not have to fear. Hallelujah. And I told my children, do not denounce the Lord. Just like Brother John said earlier, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Praise God. And that's what our hope is in Jesus. I tell you what, the devil, he wants to try to buffet you and wear out the saints. Praise God. That's when he's doing his business, just like John 10:10, what my husband said. He's a thief that coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's trying to do that. You know, in Isaiah, it talks about how we're going to look at him one day, and we're going to say, little old you, I'm paraphrasing here, you caused me all this trouble. You made me fear. You put cancer. You put diabetes. You said my children wouldn't get saved, but you're a liar. And we're going to watch him be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Praise the Lord. He's going to be bound for 1,000 years, and then God's going to leave. And God's going to let him know, praise God, where he goes. He's going to be locked there in the pit, praise the Lord, for 1,000 years. Then he's going to be cast into the lake of fire, there where the false prophet is and the man of sin is. Praise God. God is so good. And in verse 14 of Exodus, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Praise God. And we know the story, how the Lord parted the water and the Red Sea parted, and how they went through on dry land, and he put the pillar of the cloud before them, and it looked between Pharaoh's army and God's children. Praise the Lord. And how God told Moses to stretch forth his hand, and the water came in upon the chariots. And praise God. You know, God is someday, the last trump is going to sound. The seventh trump is going to sound. Praise God. And we're going to be out of here. There's not going to be another day after that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I love the Lord. And we've got about 2 minutes, almost 3 minutes, and I'm going to turn it back to my husband. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Well, we know one day we're leaving. We're getting out of here. There's going to be a call, and we're going to hear him call, and we're going to hear him with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And I believe that the Lord knows when that day is coming. I believe, you know, the Father, he said, no man knows but the Father. When he's coming back again, that part he didn't really tell us exactly when he's coming. And like I say, no man knows the day nor the hour, but we know that he is coming, and he's coming. The Bible said there in Matthew 24, I believe it was 24, he said he's coming in an hour when you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So you know, people are setting dates and things, but you know, I believe you shouldn't be setting any dates on when the Lord's coming, because you could get yourself in trouble. But they try to speculate. They try to dig in, you know, and try to find out when exactly is the Lord coming. But I know that I want to stay ready, because if he comes today, I want to be ready. If he don't come for another 20 years, I want to be ready. If I'm still here, I want to be ready. But if you're out there tonight and you're not ready to meet Jesus, I tell you, if you're not ready to face the judgment because you got your sins, you're burdened down with sin, I tell you, Jesus is the remedy. He paid the price for all sins for all time, that if we would confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You don't have to go in a little booth somewhere and tell some man what kind of sin you've been committing. What you need to do is to get down on your knees if you're able, or if you're laying in a hospital bed on your back or wherever you're at tonight, and you're listening into this broadcast. Maybe you're locked up somewhere in a prison house, but I will tell you tonight, there's no bars can keep Jesus from coming into your life. There's nothing that can keep him from coming in. Sin is the only thing, and if you'll ask the Lord to forgive you of all of your sins, to cleanse you from all of your sins and wicked ways, and all the sins that are past that you've done in your lifetime, and all the wicked things you've done, just ask God, say, be merciful to me, a sinner, Lord, cleanse me from my sin, wash me, and make me clean. I believe that Jesus, I believe in you, Lord. I believe that Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. And I believe that he was wounded for my transgressions. And he had bought our peace on that cross. And in Pilate's judgment hall when he took those stripes. And I tell you, just call on him just like the thief on the cross. Said, remember me, Lord, remember me. Have mercy on me. Save me, Lord. And I'll live for you, Lord, and I'll do your will. Praise God. Looks like we're out of time tonight. And I want to thank each one of you for coming on. And we'll talk to you all next week, Lord willing, or Tuesday night maybe we'll hear from you. God bless you all.
Praise the Lord. God bless you all.
Amen.
Love you all.
We appreciate you all.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.